God would just continue to cultivate and grow that work in each and every one of us. I ask that you would just bless him for his willingness and his obedience to bring what's on your heart. I thank you for him, and I thank you for being good to us, God. We love you. Amen.
Well, thank you. All right, so a couple of weeks ago, and this thing is just... fine. All right, you know what? We're just not going to use it. We'll just leave it over there, and I will pick up my books when I need them. All right, so... a couple of weeks ago, we talked about, or I guess it's been a month, right? I think it was the end of May. I talked about evangelism. And then the last 3 weeks or so, we've been talking about the vision of City of Refuge and what we're looking to do and how we are approaching faith and life and going forward as a collective unit and what that looks like. But tonight, I actually want to spend some time talking about something that I typically actively avoid talking about. Things that I don't really want to do because it's very divisive and tends to lose people friendships and things get crazy. Game of Thrones spoilers. Seriously, people, if you can't stay off for just a few minutes, I'll just give you the biggest one. Everybody dies, okay? You don't have to watch anymore. There you go. You're better off not knowing. Yeah. But no, seriously, there's something, what I'm going to talk about tonight has to do more with dreaded word that starts with a P, politics and patriotism. Two things that I generally don't spend a lot of time on because from what I can see and from my perspective, it tends to ruin friendships and family relationships and work relationships, and everybody is just unable to talk to one another in a rational manner about things that we don't necessarily see the same point of view on. And in our country especially, I could talk about, you know, what happened with the UK in the last couple of days, but I don't know anything about European economics, so I'm not gonna. There's not really no real point for that. But we are leading up to, in the next 4 months or so, to our next presidential election, right? You know, and I'm sorry, but I would like to fast forward to December and be done. Because the next 4 months is just going to be a lot of people who spend most of their time arguing about things that don't really matter and trying to determine what the best thing is. Yes, most of the time spending our time pointing fingers at one another when really we should be spending more time sitting down and just having honest conversations and trying to figure out what's going on. That would actually make things work. I'd like to also point out that this is rather timely because a little over a week, we're going to celebrate American Independence, right? It comes up, July 4th is coming up. And, you know, we're going to celebrate a glorious time, remember all these things that have been sacrificed to relieve us from tyranny and oppression, you know, and nothing is more American than alcohol and fireworks, okay? And sadly, that is what most people think of and do when it comes to the 4th of July. It has nothing to do with remembering, hey, this is the, you know, 240 some odd years ago, this is when we, you know, when we actually, you know, said we don't want to live under British rule anymore, we want to be our own thing, and did what we felt was right and moved forward with that. Does the rest of the, I would love to just kind of poll people and see, what does the rest of the world think of with the 4th of July? Do they understand American independence? Do they understand that that's what we're trying to celebrate? Or do they just see a bunch of ugly Americans trying to blow each other up and get as many drinks as they possibly can before the weekend is over? The jury's out. I haven't. Yeah, right? They have the same thing. True. Very true. Very true. But really, just in all seriousness, though, politics is something that is part of our daily lives on the regular, and not just national politics or government politics. There is politics in every level of government, national government, you know, local, state, whatever you have to be, but job politics, people who actually go to work, you have politics at your job, church politics, which is almost as vicious and brutal as national politics. From time to time, you have social politics. There's political, and recently, because it's a way that we've developed to interact with one another, and it's not necessarily a bad thing. All right. The idea is that it provides a framework and a groundwork to really give people, you know, something to go on to converse in a civil manner and discuss through dialogue, you know, what things we can do to come to a common resolution and find a way to go forward with something that everybody can agree on, even though we don't necessarily see eye to eye on every piece of it. That's what's supposed to happen, right? It's not usually what happens. Generally, we spend a lot of time bickering and arguing about, you know, whatever the case may be. I really was going to go with a Monty Python joke there, and I didn't. You should be proud of me. Okay. We're going to talk later. Now, so I mean, really, it's crazy how much time we spend on politics, not just politics, but on patriotism. And for me, patriotism is not a bad thing. There is absolutely nothing wrong with loving where you are from. Okay, most people, at its basest form, loving the place that you grew up in because you have good memories about said place and you think it's cool. That's fine. I would venture to say that every place in the world, somebody has some form of love for where they come from. It's natural to have that. The problem is, it comes in because we actually spend a lot of time turning it into something that it's not. We turn patriotism into this blind cattle call to bring people to one side or the other, and we don't really look at it objectively. From that perspective. And sadly, our leaders take it as an opportunity to sway us to one side or the other, either red or blue, you know, or any number of other colors in between, because those are not the only two parties that are out there. They're just the only two that ever get any attention. But lots of stuff out there. But I look at it, want to look at it tonight from a perspective, as a Christian, what am I supposed to do, you know, when it comes to these things? Because for the next 4 months, one side or the other is going to be actively courting your votes to say, you should vote for us because we have the same feelings and objectives and views as you do, which is a lot of BS, to be frank. Now, you know, not to say that there are not people out there who are running for office who do have the same values that you have and are looking to do the same things that would line up with a Christian worldview to some extent. But most of them are just trying to get you to their side so they have your vote, and then once they have it, they'll move on to whatever the next piece of their agenda happens to be. That's sadly how politics works. But I wanted to look at it. What did Jesus say about, you know, about being as part of life, you know, being, you know, loving your country, or what does it mean to follow Jesus? Because that's what we're doing, right? As Christians, literally to be a Christian means you are following Christ. That's what that word actually means. So if I am following after Christ, what does that mean for him? And in Matthew chapter 10, so this is where I'm going to go back and find my book. My Bible, the book. All right, so in Matthew chapter 10, after going through a lot of other pieces, so to not take all of this out of context, Matthew, in this portion of Matthew, he has spent a lot of time teaching. He went through the Beatitudes, and he has taught them the Lord's Prayer, and he's answered a lot of questions from the religious types. But at this point, he actually does bring out to say, you know, it's not all sunshine and roses, people. So to speak, he basically says, starting in verse 34, so Matthew chapter 10, verse 34, do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be those of his own household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it. So from that perspective, I think that Jesus pretty much said that it's not going to be easy, and I'm looking for you to follow me completely, right? So we talked about families and households, and literally, so I mean, even moving back from just from a national perspective, loving your nation, loving your city, loving your state, loving your town. He's saying, even in your own family, if you put your own family above me, you're not worthy of me. Does that mean Jesus said, well, you shouldn't love your parents, and you shouldn't love your kids, or your sibling, you know, or your spouse. No, that's not what he said at all. Essentially, he's saying, I should be first. I should be first and foremost in your life and in your path to move forward, to follow after me. That means even unto death, because that is the picture of the cross. That is the picture that the people listening to him at that time would have understood. We look at it and go, oh, cross, he's talking about, you know, the crucifixion, and it's, you know, or a nice piece of jewelry because people wear crosses and whatever the case may be. To the people in first century Jerusalem or Galilee or wherever he was speaking at that particular point, that was a pretty horrific way to die. It was to actually have to carry your cross and put it up on the hill and let them tie you up on it and let you suffocate to death. And he's saying, even unto that, you should be following me, even if it means that. Because if you lose your life for me, you will find it. And if you do your best to try to save it, you're going to end up losing it. Again, put Jesus first, things are going to work out, right? So I look at that from a perspective of, even for my country, he's not saying that it's wrong for me to want something good for my country. He's saying that should not be the focus of me, right? Because even Jesus had said, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I long to gather you together under my wings. Jesus loved where he was from. He came from above, but he spent most of his time there in Judea and definitely appreciated and loved the people. They were God's chosen people. That was the group that he was a part of. It's not that he didn't love them. In fact, he went to them to fulfill the prophecy, to fulfill everything that was given to them up to that point. Later on in that chapter in Matthew, and he's sending out the 12 to do some of the ministry, he's saying, stick with the Jewish towns. Don't go to the towns of the Gentiles. Don't go to the towns of the Samaritans. We're here for Israel at this point. And once they decided no, that's when the other mission then turned and moved on to phase two, which was everybody else. But I really think that when it comes down to that, he's not, you know, patriotism in and of itself can be noble, because there is a way to move forward and say, yes, I love America, because I do. I'm not willing to lay my other beliefs down because I am no longer only a citizen of this nation, right? From a earthly perspective, sure, I have my citizenship in the United States. I was born here, so that's what that runs. But at this point, having chosen Christ, my citizenship has now been moved to a different kingdom. Right, I have sworn fealty to a new king, to high king of heaven, and that's what matters. Which means that if from this point forward, my goals and ambitions should line up with what Jesus has for me and what Jesus is looking to do in the world as a whole, which is expand that kingdom here on earth in the here and now. Not some distant future where things happen. That stuff may happen too, and you know, there's lots of other things that people talk about and debate about when it comes to the end of everything and what that kingdom looks like. And it's a rather engaging discussion if you get to have it. I'm not going to have it with you right now, though. But we are not just called to be Christians because, okay, cool, we're all good. Once my ticket is punched and I get to the end, everything is fine. No worries. I came to give you life and to give you life more abundantly. Here, now. Moving forward, you should be trying to bring that life into fruition at this very moment. So if I am a citizen of that kingdom and that's my goal, patriotism as a whole doesn't make a whole lot of sense. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense to sit there and blindly follow leaders who are only interested in what can benefit them. You know, it's not that they don't care about you necessarily, but we've created politics as a career at this point. I read some statistics recently that 3/4 of the people who serve in Congress, both the Senate and the House of Representatives, 3/4 of them have been there for over a decade. You know, and some of those folks have been there for over 2 decades. And I have to wonder and question, well, so if they got into this to better the lives of the people in the constituencies that they represent, the states that they represent, is life better now than it was 20 years ago in your state? I mean, I would want to ask these questions. Is life better now? Have things become different? And, well, maybe some of them can say yes. I don't know. But politics and that kind of thing was never meant to be an actual career, right? It was meant to be you go, you're representing your district, state, local area, whatever. You serve the time that you're called for. You go back and do whatever job it was you had before you left. It was never meant to be a career. And because we've turned it into a career, now it actually turns into, makes them the most expensive legislative body in the world. I heard a statistic from, and crazy because it's on something I was listening to today, but Congress is expected to spend $3 billion a year on themselves. And that was from 20 years ago. So what does that number look like now? I can only guess. If I add inflation to that, what does that look like? And I'm really not up here to necessarily badmouth politicians. That's not the point. The point is that as we're moving forward for the next 4 months, and you're going to be on your wonderful social media devices, and you're going to be looking at all of these things on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and anything else, Tumblr, Pinterest, all those things, there is going to be so much debate that is going to occur. And debate is a nice word, I think. A lot of flaming accusations is more probably appropriate. It's like, you know, as Shakespeare say, the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune. Something similar to that, I guess. But we've turned, you know, it's going to get ugly. I remember 2012 when it came down to, literally I know people who stopped talking to one another for months after that because of they couldn't reconcile that somebody would choose that person over this person. What? Are you friends? Are you family? Do you care about one another? Then that shouldn't be something that can't be overcome, right? And I guess what I would want to encourage everybody moving into the next 4 months with all of this, don't lose sight of the fact that, you know, we're actually following after a king who's in charge already. We don't really have to be worried about who ends up sitting in D.C., you know, a few months from now. Does that mean life is always going to be good? Sadly, no. But does that mean we have hope that things, you know, that things are going to go the way that they should? Because that's what God wants? Yes, because God is ultimately in control of everything that's going to happen in that regard. Sometimes the evil king stays in power because they need to be there at that point. You can read through all of the Old Testament and see how many times God allowed an evil king to remain in power to bring Israelites to repentance and bring them back to him. And that's really what we should be focusing on when it comes down to working for the kingdom. We shouldn't put our faith in politicians to make life better for us. We should not put our faith in any side to actually make things, make a difference and bring the change that we want. Can they help affect change? Sure. Are they going to save anybody? No. And neither am I, neither are you, because the only person who has the power to save is God in Jesus and the Spirit. Our point is to pray and to seek to follow after what he has laid out for us and what he would have us do. We want to see revival and we want to see a change in the nation that we live in, the nations that we visit, the place we want to see that change. We need to be the executors of that particular change by getting on our knees and praying for our country and praying for the people who are around so that that change happens in that way. You know, the saddest thing that happens for me is that when you look at something that happened 2 weeks ago in Orlando, and it's a horrible thing that happens. People are dead. People are grieving for their family. And they turn it into a sideshow and a circus for one side or the other. And they use the media to fan the flames for both sides. And to me, that hurts way more than some of the other things. These people lost their lives, and their family is grieving because the person that they loved is never coming back. Because a person made a choice, we are the ones who have to live with the consequences of the actions that they took, because they ended up killing themselves in the process, and they don't get to, you know, face that after the fact. It's not about a political issue. It's not about a religious issue. It's about the fact that people were hurt and are hurting still. And instead, and I'm not saying everybody, because there's been lots of stuff that's been done to support that. There's been, you know, funds set up. There's been vigils that have been held. There are churches and people who have gone out of their way to help individuals. Alberta talked about one last week. That was really cool. That's what we should be focusing on. It shouldn't be about, you know, whether this was a gun issue or whether this is an Islamic issue. Can it be part of those things? Sure. Is that what we should focus on? Absolutely not. And I want to talk about something from C.S. Lewis in his book, The Four Loves. which I really thought I had an individual copy of, and I don't, so I've got this giant book that's got four copies of something else in it. But it's interesting because he talks about patriotism in that, but more importantly, he talks about love and how love kind of interacts. So I'm just going to read a short passage from this because he says it much better than I can. So this was part of the introduction. And he was talking about, at the time, a modern writer whose name was Denis de Rougemont, who said that love ceases to be a demon only when he ceases to be a god, which, of course, can be restated, begins to be a demon the moment it begins to be a god. And what he's talking about is love in that aspect, is that if it is put above everything else, begins to take over and take control. And so what Lewis then adds on to that is that the balance seems to me an indispensable safeguard. If we ignore the truth that God is love, it may slyly come to mean for us the converse, that love is God, which is not exactly the point. And that's, so as everyone who has thought about the matter will see that, we'll see what Monsieur de Rougemont meant. Every human love at its height has a tendency to claim for itself a divine authority. Its voice tends to sound as if it were the will of God himself. It tells us not to count the cost. It demands of us a total commitment. It attempts to override all other claims and insinuates that any action which is sincerely done for love's sake is thereby lawful and even meritorious. That erotic love and love of one's country may thus attempt to become gods is generally recognized. But family affection may do the same, and so in a different way may friendship. And what he was basically saying is that if we put love up on a pedestal, God is love, yes. Not all love is God, right? Because of what we tend to say that we love. And that's how love of country kind of gets out of control, is because we end up making it a god in and of itself. And that's what, so instead of, and so which it kills me because we have someone out there screaming about making America great again, and, but yet they're not really concerned about you overall as a person. They're not really concerned about what God would have them do if they were in power. I don't know their heart, you know, I don't know any of that. I don't know anything about the other side in that regard either. But I can go based on what I can see, and what I can see is someone who's only interested on both sides, someone only interested in power. They've made that their love, they've made that their God. And that's not what we should be after. So, I kind of want to talk, well, not kind of, I do, we'll talk a little bit more about that, because I think that it's important to know that, love in that regard is important. We want to exhibit that kind of love. We want to give that kind of commitment, but we have to do it because we have to look at it from God is that love, and we need to be following those tenets. We need to be following those things that he set out before us. I, more than anything, if I want to sit down and say I'm going to follow after Christ with everything that I have in me, that means that love of my job or love of my family or love of my country is all secondary. All could be taken away at a moment's notice, and I can, you know, have to be able to move forward and say, you know, God is still good. God is good and has a plan for that. So, I don't know. It's one of those interesting things that we kind of move forward into in an election year, and I really don't look forward to the next 4 months. I really don't. That's true. That's honest truth for me. I really don't look forward to that at all, because sometimes you end up having to play. You have to balance a little bit and say, all right, God, what do we want to do with this? So, because the other piece of it is something else that we've dealt with a lot, and I'm going to read from Galatians, which was the first verse that I had read that kind of tipped this off for me. In Galatians chapter 3, I'm going to read verse 28, but I'm also going to talk a little bit about some of the rest. So chapter 3, verse 28 says, "There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus." And so in this particular passage, Paul has been speaking about matters of faith. And I think that's important because a lot of people take that particular verse out of context for a lot of other different reasons. Paul has been talking about matters of faith, and what that basically says is that when it comes to faith, it comes to being accepted by Christ and actually becoming a Christian and following after him, you're all on the same level. Every single one of you is on a level playing field. It doesn't matter if you were, you know, highborn or if you are a slave in someone's house. It doesn't matter if you are a man or a woman. It doesn't matter if you came from a Jewish background or if you're one of the Gentile races. None of that stuff matters. You are all able to be accepted and to accept Christ, and you are all able to move forward in that. All right? I look at that as also confirmation from the other pieces. And if none of if those things don't matter themselves because we're all one in Christ and we're all moving forward after the same goal as Christians, then ultimately nation states don't matter either, because they're all eventually at some point going to kneel down and be underneath Christ and all going to be subjugated in that manner, right? So it doesn't really matter what you come for. Does that mean that I'm looking for, you know, one globalization thing? No. I mean, but that's why patriotism to me is not something that we should throw all of our chips behind. You know, we should be throwing in with Christ to follow after and say, hey, I want to introduce you to somebody who can, who has the answers, right? I want to introduce you to the guy that I follow. I want to introduce you to Jesus. I don't want to introduce you to, you know, the person who lives down the street who has, you know, has the lead job at the place you're looking for. That might help you, but it might not do anything for you. I don't want to introduce you to my senator, you know, because they might be a nice person, but ultimately when it comes to matters of faith, not really gonna work out so well. So again, what I'm trying to say there is we're all one at that point with Christ. We are all, once you've been accepted, you are adopted sons and daughters. You've accepted Christ. You have been brought into the kingdom. You are one of his children. You are part of that kingdom. And that's what we really want to focus on and be a part of, right? That's where I'm going. That's what I want to see advanced every day. I want, you know, good things to happen to this country because I think this is a great place to live. I think this is a great place to be. And I'm not out here to say that you should go, you know, we should just leave it all. We should just burn it all down and walk away. That's not what I'm advocating. What I am saying is that those things and the things that are going to be whipped up into a frenzy in the next 4 months because of where we are and what we do when it comes to elections is not as important or, you know, as making sure that you're following after Christ with your whole heart. Not nearly as important as being a friend to somebody who needs you to be there because they've had a rough day. You know, it's not nearly as important as being able to share with someone who is broken and hurting and just really needs someone to say, I get it, and I'm here for you. You know, I'm not here because somebody made me or because, well, this is an election year and I need all the votes that I can get, so I'm going to come down and spend some time with the less fortunate. I'm here because you are just broken, and I, in different ways, have been broken, and I can relate, and I want to help you get better and to be better. That's what it's really all about when it comes down to it, is we're here to help one another. You know, in James, it talks about true religion is feeding the orphans and feeding the fatherless, feeding the widows, being actually out there, making a difference in that part. And I think that the church as a whole sadly falls down because we spend so much time looking at the government to say, hey, we can make this better. No, you're supposed to make this better. I'm supposed to make this better. I'm supposed to be out there as somebody, you know, being willing to say, I want to help, and I want to show you that you are loved and you are important. It's something that I have to remind myself of every day, you know, because life is hard. Life is rough some days. But you know what? I believed it when Jesus said that I love you, and I loved you enough to die for you. And I wanted you to know that you can share that with everyone else because I did the same thing for them too. And for me, that motivation, that little bit of encouragement means more than, you know, any kind of kudos I get somewhere else at work or any kind of, hey, good job, thank you. But I'm loved. That gives me the ability to stand up every morning, even though it's going to be a hard day at work today. You know, I'm going to have 50 people who want something from me that I may or may not have time to do for them. You know, some of you guys have jobs that I could never do because I just don't have it in me to sit with, you know, person after person while they tell me their problems. Or I am not skilled enough at all to sit there and, you know, do something technical. I can't draw a box, you know. You know, so, I can't, you know, you do way more than that, Stuart. I'm telling you that I physically can't. You know, exactly. Thank you, Constance. Yes. You know, I can't even draw stick figures. You know, I'm not talented in that way that Stuart is talented to be able to draw amazing plans and give people the houses that they really want. You know, but I'm good at the stuff that I do end up doing, even though some days are rough. But I have to remember and remind myself every day, I'm loved. I'm a son of the King, and I need to be able to return that love to anybody else who needs it. Because it was freely given to me, I should be able to freely give it to everybody else, right? There are no stipulations about that. And I think that's one of the things that hurts about some of the way that we've treated some of the situation that happened recently. It's people just need to be loved, man. And I said this last time, and I really still feel like it needs to be said. You know, telling somebody that God loves them is what most everybody needs to hear on a regular basis. It's important that at some point they realize that, you know, turning to God means that you have to change some of the things that you've been doing. Yes. Does that mean they have to know it at the exact same moment that you tell them God loves them? No. Because I'll say again, and I'll keep saying it to everybody, sometimes you really have to believe that God loves you, and not sometimes, every time. You have to believe that God loves you before you have any idea what it means to change. Before you need to know, hey, this is what I need to do in order to be different. Because only God can reveal that to you. Sometimes he uses other people to help him out with that. But typically, it's only when you are in the place where you've really, I do believe that you love me. And I can't believe that you love me because of X, Y, and Z. And he goes, well, you know, you can change those things. And that's how you get to start to move forward into repentance. But I struggle with the need to have to hold that over somebody while they try to witness to them. Let them know that God loves them first, you know, and let them get to a place where they believe that and can accept that and want to know what happens next. And that's actually showing somebody what it means to become and follow Jesus. I'm going to end with this tonight. I think that whatever happens in the next 4 months, whatever happens at the end of the day in November, whatever that first Tuesday of November is, I don't even know, this year, whatever happens, God is still on the throne. It's still going to turn out the way he's been working to get it there. It may take some funky turns, and we might see some more interesting things happen. But God is still in control. God is still orchestrating this for the betterment of us. He still has our best interest in mind. He is a good father. And I really just hope that if you have to engage with someone on something where they're going through, remember that God loves them too, even if they're being crazy. And that's what I just want to go for. So if you guys will pray with me real quick, and we'll be done. So Heavenly Father, thank you so much for tonight. Thank you for the group of people that have come out tonight and for all of the people that we interact with on the regular. Lord, you are 100% amazing and awe-inspiring. You are just so good, and your love is so wonderful, Lord. I just have to acknowledge that. Thank you and wish that you would just pour out that love and spirit over everyone here, and as we go forth, that we can carry that same love to the people that we interact with on a regular basis. Help us to walk and guide us to where we need to be the salt and light that you would have us be in people's lives, Lord. And I just ask these things in your Son's precious name. Amen.